I invite you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of James as we turn to our main teaching time today. Once again, the book of James. Our text today, James 1, verses 22 through 25. And if you're just new to Christianity or you're new to the Bible, James is a little book of wisdom, New Testament book of wisdom, found in the back of the New Testament right after Hebrews. And if you don't have a Bible, if you're here with us in person, you'll find that text, the passage today that the teaching is going to be coming off of, printed for you right in your bulletin. And if you are just finding your way into our church community, if you're just kind of catching up with our study, we have been learning in chapter one how to experience spiritual growth and wellness. How do we flourish and how do we grow spiritually? Well, James has been teaching us that that comes through primarily two ways, that God gives us two primary tools for us to experience the wellness and growth that we need. But here's the thing, we've got to admit that they're not what we wanted to hear. Because what do we want? We want wellness and growth on our own terms. We want wellness and growth to be easy. Just this past week, in a Boston Globe article by Diane Baer and Pamela Wright, they were pointing out this growing passion and interest for wellness travel, that people are looking for wellness. They're looking for this inner wellness, and they're traveling to find it. Now, there's nothing wrong with traveling. My wife Lindsay and I, we love to travel. We actually started our relationship officially on the coast of Spain. So we love to travel, but as Christians, we understand that to experience this inner wellness and growth, we need something more than a beautiful hike and a stunning view. You see, that's trying to get wellness on our own terms. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, this notion of wellness, people are pursuing this with an almost like religious-like devotion, willing to make the sacrifices, willing to make the pilgrimage for this notion of wellness. But you see, it doesn't happen that easy. It doesn't happen on our own terms. How does it happen? Through trials and truth. James has been teaching us that this growth happens when we encounter the pressure of trials and the power of God's word. But it's not enough to just encounter these things. We've got to approach them in the right way. So he's been teaching us how to approach trials, how to approach the truth. And last 2 weeks, we've looked at, as we're approaching God's word, that we need to approach it with a spirit of humility and a spirit of expectancy to really receive God's word. All right. How do you know that you're doing that? How do you know if you're really receiving God's word or not? Well, you apply the test. What's the test? It's right here. Here's the test. Starting in verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. This ends the reading of God's word. Well, final exams are on the horizon. For so many students, final exams are in the immediate future. And what's the whole point of the final exam? Maybe you've been asking yourself this. What's the point of all this? Well, a well-designed test or a final essay, they're given to prove whether you've really received and learned the material or not. You see, the test is given. The exam or the essay is given to actually prove whether you've received and learned and really digested and understood the material that you heard or not. Now, what is James doing here? He's giving us the test. He's laying down the test, and he's saying, here's the test. on whether or not you're receiving what you're hearing. And what's the test? It's the obedient actions that are to follow our hearing of God's word. See, it's almost like James has a group of people in mind, and they're all hearers. He has this group in mind, and they're all hearing the same thing, like students in a classroom, right? They're all of them in the classroom. They're hearing the professor's lecture. They're all hearing the same thing, but they're not all responding in the same way. And so it's like he's taking any given congregation, a congregation like ours, and he's saying, in that congregation, everyone, or here in person or tuning in, everyone's hearing the same word, but not everyone is walking away responding to it in the same way. You see, he has in mind here two groups of people. The same group is all hearing the same thing, but there's two groups of people walking away from any given church service or the Bible reading: hearers and forgetters, and hearers and doers. So in any given Sunday or in your Bible reading, he's got two groups of people in mind here. People walking away, you got the hearers and forgetters, and the hearers and doers. And who are we supposed to be? Look at verse 22. He's so clear on this. Be doers of the word. This is the group that we should want to be. When we come to our Bible reading or when we come to a church service, this is the group that we're called to be. As people who profess to be servants of the Master Jesus, we are called to be doers of the word. That's the test. You see, that's the checkbox. The checkbox is not attendance. The checkbox is obedience. That's the test on whether you're actually receiving and digesting and taking in, personally receiving and understanding the material. Now, what James does here, it's so helpful to help us to understand these two groups of people, hearers and forgetters and hearers and doers. He breaks them down for us. Do you notice this? In verses 23 through 24, he describes hearers and forgetters. And in verse 25, he describes hearers and doers. And so, how do we become hearers and doers? How do we avoid the temptation to become hearers and forgetters? Well, let's look at this. Let's look at these two groups of people, one by one. And the first are the hearers and forgetters. So how does that happen? Right? Why is it that the same students or the same congregation hearing the same thing could walk out and have two groups of people, two different types of responses? What moves us to become hearers and forgetters instead of hearers and doers? What's going on in our hearts that's causing that to happen? Well, the first thing that we see here, what leads us to become hearers and forgetters, what's happening, is that we become self-deceived. Notice this, look at the end of verse 22. He says, so here's the group that you're called to be, doers of the word, that's the test. Not hearers only, watch this, deceiving yourselves. So the reason that we become hearers and forgetters is we become self-deceived. Now let me ask you a question. If you're deceiving yourself, would you know it? No, that's the whole point of self-deception. You can be wrong, you could be deluded, and you don't even know it. So what do you need? What do you need to overcome that self-deception? You need something or someone to show you, to help you to see what you can't see on your own, like a mirror. We need a blind spot mirror. And this is why he's describing God's word here as a mirror, because what does God's word do? God's word has the power to overcome our self-deception. Maybe you've heard this. I've heard this several times. People say, you can't judge me. Only God knows my heart. Right? You heard this? And yes, you're right. God does know your heart. And he uses his word to expose what's really there, you see, to overcome that self-deception. What's God's word? It's our blind spot mirror. This is what it actually has the power to show us where we're being deceived. And I think What James has in mind here is at least two forms of deception. All right, there's two forms of self-deception that can lead us to walk away from this church service and become hearers and forgetters instead of hearers and doers. And the first is this: we can easily deceive ourselves to thinking that church attendance and hearing God's word is the same thing as receiving God's word. That's the first way that we can be deceived. We put the checkbox at the beginning instead of the end. Right? We say, okay, I've gone to service today, or I've done my Bible reading today. I've heard the word today. Therefore, I've received it. Oh, no. James says, you want to know if you've received it? Don't make the checkbox your attendance. Make the checkbox your obedience. Now, remember Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? So many people say, if we just lived the Sermon on the Mount today, this world would be a better place. Well, what was the end of the Sermon on the Mount? Remember the wise and the foolish builders? Both the wise builder and the foolish builder, both of them heard the word, but only one of them responded with obedience. You see, it was the wise person who heard the word and then did the word, put it into practice, and they were the wise person. Remember the parable of the sower? Right? All the different types of grounds, different types of soils, they all encountered the word. They were all encountering the same word, the same seed, but only one of those soils actually took it in, received it, and produced the fruit that it was meant to produce. You see, we can easily deceive ourselves that because I'm encountering God's word, that means I'm receiving God's word. And James says, no. It's like the wise and foolish builders. It's like the parable of the sower. You can encounter God's word, you can hear God's word, and actually not be receiving God's word, but you can deceive yourself to thinking, I got it. Went to church today, heard the word, received the word. No. The test is not attendance, it's obedience. Now, the second way I think that we can deceive ourselves is that when we look into God's word and it's showing us something that we don't want to see about ourselves, we can sort of deceive ourselves to thinking, no, that's not me. Or, no, that's not that big of a deal. Let me ask you, why do you look into a mirror? What's the purpose of a mirror? You don't look into the mirror to go, well, hey, look at you. Right? That's not the purpose of the mirror. I mean, some people use a mirror that way, but a mirror is actually not designed for us to continually admiring ourselves, right? To admire ourselves. What's the purpose of the mirror? The purpose of the mirror is to accurately know ourselves, to see what we can't see on our own. And this is what God's word does for us. It's our blind spot mirror. But here's what happens. The person that James has in mind here, it's like the person who's looking in the mirror and they see, I need a haircut. Oh, my hair's falling all down my face. I got hair growing out of my nose. It's coming out of my ears. Oh, I need a haircut. But then it's like they say, no, who has time for a haircut? No. And they willfully forget. That's the word here, right? When he says they forget, this is not passive. They actively willfully forget. So it's like that person who sees they need a haircut and they walk away saying, no, it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, women like that woodsy, shaggy dog look anyway. You know, no. And who has time for a haircut? You see, they deceive themselves. What they clearly saw in the mirror, they rationalize away. Let me give you another example. Do you remember the first time you heard your voice on a voice recording? I remember clearly for me, because I originally went to school for broadcasting, and I remember when I heard that playback, I was thinking, that's not me, right? That whiny voice, I mean, that's not me, is it? And all my friends were like, yeah, that's you. That's how you sound. I didn't want to admit it. Or what about that candid photo that someone takes of you at a get-together, and you weren't in your perfect position, right? You didn't have time to pose, and they snap this shot of you, and you see it, and you're like, who is that? That can't be me, is it? And what happens is because we don't want to admit what's really there, we deceive ourselves and we think, no, that can't be me, or no, that's not that big of a deal. See, James is showing us that happens in our spiritual lives. That happens when we're encountering God's word, whether in our Bible reading or when we come to service. We'll often see things that are so clearly, God is pointing them out so clearly to us, but we don't want to admit it. Because all of us naturally want to think of ourselves as better than we really are. And so we can self-deceive. The second reason we become hearers and doers, and then we'll move on, is I would say distraction. So boys and girls, you know a little bit of what this is like, you know, where you're told to do something. I want you to go pick up this or go help your brother with this. And you're thinking about something else. You're distracted about something else. And you walk away and you totally forget what you're supposed to do. Or you hear what you're supposed to do, you go into a room and the TV's on, or you see a toy that you want to play with. And that's not just for kids. You see, James is saying, this happens to adults. We could be listening to God's word, hearing God's word preached, but in our minds, God's word isn't occupying the highest priority. We're thinking about the event in the afternoon. We're thinking about the sports team that we're following. We're thinking about something that in that moment has become more important than God's word, the God who made us and the one we profess to follow. And so what happens is that we'll walk out and we just become distracted. And we're just on to the next thing and the next thing. And so this is what can lead us to become hearers and forgetters instead of hearers and doers. So how do we overcome this? How do we become hearers and doers? Well, let's look at this. Second and finally, hearers and doers. This is verse 25. And as I see it, James is highlighting three things here that we need to remember if we're going to walk away from our Bible reading or if we're going to walk away from a church service and become hearers and doers. And it's these. We've got to remember the gospel. We've got to remember the mirror. And we've got to remember the blessing. Three things we actually see in this little verse 25. Notice the first thing that he says here. He says, but the one who looks into the perfect law. So God's word is a perfect mirror. It's going to show us exactly what's there. But notice what he calls this. Looks into the law of liberty. Now that's interesting. I mean, normally we wouldn't describe laws as something that frees us. So why does he now talk about God's word as a law of liberty? And how do we look at God's word and see these moral and ethical commands as something that frees us? The only way to do that is to remember the gospel. I'll give you an example. One of my favorite movies growing up was The Sandlot. Do you remember The Sandlot with Scotty Smalls? Scotty, you're killing me, Smalls. If you haven't seen the movie, Scotty is this new kid in town, and all the neighborhood kids, they love to play ball and baseball, but Scotty can't play to save his life. But the popular kid, the all-star of the group, Rodriguez, he befriends Scotty. And he brings Scotty right onto the team. Doesn't deserve to be on the team. Can't throw, can't hit. He doesn't deserve to be on the team. But Rodriguez brings him right onto the team. And he brings him onto the team all by grace. All by grace, he's now onto the team. Then what did Rodriguez start doing? He started teaching Scotty what he was doing wrong. He started teaching Scotty what he needed to do. In order to what? In order to experience the freedom and the joy of being on that team. And you see, this is how a Christian can look into God's word and see what's really there in their own hearts. And they can see the commands. They can see the instructions. Why? Because we know, because of Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection in our place, we are on the team and a part of the family by grace and grace alone. We're on the team now and forever. And so now we can actually hear these commands, not as something that's crushing us, but as a gracious gift of God to instruct us. Why? to experience freedom, to experience the joy of what it looks like to be on God's team, to live as God's children. Do you see how this works? Do you see how important the gospel is for Christians? Every day we need to be remembering the gospel. When we come to service, when we come to our Bible reading, we need to remember, I can look into this and I can see what's really there and not despair, because Jesus is my righteousness. And I don't have to look at this and sort of deceive myself and try to defend my own righteousness, because Jesus' perfect righteousness has been credited to me. And now I'm free, you see. I'm free to see what's really there, because Jesus on the cross has dealt with all the flaws I see, has dealt with all the brokenness and all my sins, past, present, and future. And so now, you see, the law becomes something. Instead of crushing me, it frees me. We've got to remember the gospel. That's how you hear the commands, knowing whether I follow this right or not, I'm still on the team. I'm still a part of God's family. Second, remember the mirror. Notice he goes on and he says, and they persevere. Now I want you to know that word there, persevere, it literally means to stay with it. So think about this. What's the temptation between the hearing and the doing? What happens? It's the forgetting. And so we've got to understand this tendency in our heart to self-deceive and to willfully forget what we saw in the mirror. And so this word here, persevere, it means to take it with you, to stay with it. In other words, it's like he's saying, somehow you've got to take the mirror with you. You've got to ruthlessly come against this tendency to just hear and forget. And this is why many Christians, throughout the history of the church, they take notes during a service. Now, you don't have to take notes, but that's one of the ways where you ruthlessly come against this tendency to forget what you heard. People will take notes, and then they'll review their notes later. Or some of you, I know, you'll do a discussion group based on what you've been reading throughout the week, or what you've been hearing on a given Sunday. What are you doing? You're taking the mirror with you. You see, you're ruthlessly coming against this tendency to be a hearer and forgetter. Now, I'm going to share something. What I have learned, this is just for me personally, and it's so helped me. I started this habit several years ago, where if I'm listening to a sermon, or if I am doing my Bible reading in the morning, I'll be looking for two things. In my reading or in my listening, I'm looking for a promise to believe and a command to obey. And I have a little journal that for each day, there's days that I miss, but I try to keep up with this. For each day, I'm writing down a promise to believe and a command to obey. Now, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to take the mirror with me. I'm trying to fight against this tendency to just hear and forget. And so I don't know what it will look like for you, but we've got to ruthlessly come against this tendency and to take the mirror with us. Lastly, I would say, remember the blessing. Remember the gospel, remember the mirror, remember the blessing. Notice this, very end of 25, he says, here's the promise, and he or she will be, not maybe, you, friend, will be blessed. Now watch this, not for your doing, but in your doing. And that is so important that we see that, because God will often call us to things that aren't easy. He will often call us to things that are going to personally cost us. And the blessing is not for the doing. The blessing that's promised here is in the doing. What he's saying is that the path of Jesus is the blessing. Obedience in and of itself is the blessing. That's going to bring you peace of conscience, fellowship with God, and you're going to experience the wellness that all of us are looking for. Remember the gospel, remember the mirror, remember the blessing. And so you've seen in the mirror of God's word that we're called to be hearers and doers. How will you respond? Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word. Lord, it is a mirror. It's not just a seed that has the power to produce spiritual fruit. It's a mirror to show us, Lord, what we need to see about ourselves. Lord, where, the areas where we need to change. Lord, the areas where you want the light of Christ to shine more brightly. And Lord, I pray that we would ruthlessly come against this tendency to make attendance the checkbox, to make just hearing the checkbox. And Lord, that you would cause our church more and more to walk away from our Bible reading or walk away from a church service and become hearers and doers instead of hearers and forgetters. This we pray in Jesus' name, and all the congregation said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together, sing our final song. God's people said, amen. Amen. Before I close with the charge and benediction, I'm going to have Bob Murray share the warrant, the notice for our meeting for tomorrow night.
Thank you. Good morning. Nice to hear that in person. To the members and friends of the First Congregational Church of Hamilton, Massachusetts, greetings. A meeting inviting your participation in the revision of the bylaws of the First Congregational Church of Hamilton, Massachusetts, has been set for Monday, April 26. Due to the pandemic, the meeting will be held as a combined in-person and Zoom event. The meeting will provide an opportunity to explain and discuss the revisions and to receive and vote on any changes in preparation for a final vote on the changes in May 2021. Article 1. To receive the report of the elders on the proposed 2021 revisions to the First Congregational Church's bylaws and to take any action thereon. Respectfully submitted, Robert Murray, Clerk.
Thank you, Bob. Now, the charge is this: be doers of the word. And if you've come to this place wondering if there is complete forgiveness from God for you, and if you come in repentance and in faith in the work of Jesus, not your own, then on the authority of God's word, not my own, I declare to you all your sins are forgiven. If you're tuning in on the live stream and need prayer, one of our leaders are available right now over Zoom to pray with you. The pastors as well, for those of you who are here in person, would love to pray for you about anything that you may be facing outside following today's service. But as we face another week filled with blessings and filled with challenges, we do so with God's blessing upon our lives. Receive it now in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. May you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May he bless you. May he empower you for every good word and every good work done in his name. And may you experience his freedom and his joy both now and forevermore. And all God's people said one more time, amen. Go in peace.